Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get into our lesson today. Last week we started looking at a lesson called Lessons from the Coronavirus. How you can come up with a sermon like that, I don't know. But I try to always find something that I can learn and improve my life with every person, with every circumstance that I encounter. And we looked at last week some of the lessons that through this whole thing, it's really made us appreciate our fellowship together with so many people needing and being forced to stay away for health concerns. Some of the things that we've been going through, it's made us appreciate our time together even more. We looked at the idea of being prepared, not only physically, you know. I don't want to have to pull out some of my old wrestling moves, you know, to fight somebody over toilet paper in the grocery store. But not only physically, we need to be prepared spiritually. We never know when our great day is going to be. And we need to be prepared for that spiritually. And the fact that we served in spite of it, we didn't close our doors. We didn't. We altered. We rolled with the punches. We've spaced out. We've changed our communion to be a little bit more safer and more sanitary, etc. But we still served in spite of it. When we look back, we've had 3 baptisms since all of this has started. We've still served our God. Looking at today, we want to look at a few things. One of the things I've learned is that we need to slow down and appreciate the small things. Back when this whole thing started, when everything was locked down, businesses shut down, and all this stuff, and then you're stuck in the house just kind of looking at each other. Now what? You know, many people couldn't go to work. Many people were literally stuck in their homes. It was, and I know it was this way for some of you also, it was one of Stacy and mine's best times. We appreciated the small things. We appreciated sitting on the back porch watching the birds, listening, looking at flowers bloom, tending to the garden, a simple cheeseburger on the back patio, homemade cheeseburgers. Don't get better than that. But to slow down, we get caught up in, I guess, what you call the rat race. This has caused us to slow down a little bit, hopefully. And hopefully we can appreciate the small things. In Psalms 46:10, it says simply, "Be still and know that I am God." Isn't it easy to get at that breakneck pace? Go, go, go. I got to be here by, I got the calendar of list of things to do. I got to meet so-and-so here. I got to be across town in 15 minutes. Be still and know that I am God. In 1 Kings, we see in chapter 19, then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. To catch that small, still voice, you've got to be attentive. You've got to actually put effort. Everybody catches an earthquake. Everybody notices a raging fire. A wind so much that it's tearing down the mountains and breaking the rocks, and you notice that. But you have to take effort to notice the still, small voice. That's God. Mark 1:35, we see the example by Jesus. As busy as I am, I can't hold a candle to Jesus' day. What he did from the time he was up, he was teaching, he was healing. People were bringing him their cares and woes and concerns. And we see in verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Jesus understood, I've got a hectic day ahead of me. I need to recharge myself. I've recharged myself physically that night sleeping. But I need to recharge myself physically. I need to talk to God the Father. I need some time to myself before the day hits. Before the teaching takes place, before the healings, the miraculous and glorious wonders that he will do. He went out to a solitary place, and there he prayed to his Father. We have been able to reach people, ironically, with the shutdowns. We've been able to reach people that we may have never reached. Who would have ever thought that we, this little bitty congregation, would be live streaming on Facebook? We've been able to reach people all across this country. We've been able to stay into contact with Carolyn and RC. They're watching today. Hi, Carolyn and RC. We need to keep them in our prayers, by the way, as they're traveling around. RC's looking for work. We've been able to stay in contact with Tanya back in Ohio. She tunes in every is that even a word? Tunes in. That goes back to my TV days. Tuning in, get on the radio. They watch. We've had people from the Philippines. We've had people from Japan watch us online. We had a baptism because somebody had watched Don Blackwell's World Video Bible School lessons, and it directed him to attend a fellowship and a worship and further study, and a man showed up and needed to be baptized. And he had watched us because Don Blackwell directed him to get in to contact with a local Church of Christ. We've been able to reach people that we may have never reached had it not been for this circumstance. In Acts 8:1, right after the death of Stephen, it says, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The persecution, nobody would want that persecution. Persecution was so bad, people were scattered. But in the scattering, seeds were sown everywhere. Everywhere those Christians went, they took their teachings with them. Everywhere they went, there were pockets of Christians for when Paul started traveling. It would fall on ears that would listen. That congregations were established. All because of persecution. This is just a virus. Good has come out of that. And last but not least, in all of the hectic times, with all the fear, with all the people wearing masks and washing their hands, and I tell you, that's kind of good though. People have been a little cleaner and a little bit more hygienic, because of this. But the bottom line is, God is still in control. God didn't bring this to teach anybody a lesson. God's not punishing anybody. Good people have suffered from it. Bad people have suffered from it. But the bottom line, God is still in control. God was in control during the persecutions. God was in control with the Israelites in Egypt. And as Moses was getting ready to take them out of their bondage in Egypt, in Exodus 3, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." He has seen, he's heard, and he knows. How many times, I wonder, when they were in bondage in Egypt, that they felt alone. At those times, God was still in control, planning to remove them out of their situation. But because their time didn't match up with God's time, sometimes people get discouraged. God knew their sorrows. In Job, one of the greatest examples, and Tracy even used this example last week in his evening lesson. In Job had experienced more than I'll ever scratch the surface. We sometimes whine and cry about the things we're going through, and maybe rightly so. They don't hold a candle to Job. He lost all of his possessions, his wealth. He lost his family, his children, his beloved children. He lost. And then he's afflicted with severe boils all over his body. I don't even like a paper cut. I don't know if you've ever had a boil. It's painful. He had them all over his body. And in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, his wife is even wondering, why are you holding to your faith? Why are you maintaining your integrity? His friends had turned against him. What did you do to bring this on yourself? We got to remember, Mrs. Job, she'd lost everything too. She just wasn't afflicted by boils. She'd lost her wealth and her children. So she's distraught also. But then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Out of all the things he suffered. So I guess I can maybe keep complaining and putting a mask on when I go in Walmart. I guess I can can keep squirting my hands and keeping clean a little bit. I didn't suffer near as much as Job. And a few chapters later, Job proclaims. This is a proclamation. And he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even if I die, I still trust God. That's never going to change. What a lesson we can learn from Job. And ending up, Paul addresses some concerns to the Romans in chapter 8. And in verse 28 we see, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Not all things are good. A lot of people confuse that verse. All things work together for good if you let it. And then in a few verses later where Terrence read this morning, starting in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or coronavirus? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded. This is something Paul is banking his soul on. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a proclamation that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We've looked at a few things that hopefully you will benefit from too. I know looking back these last 6 months or so, looking back at our lives since that dreaded coronavirus hit, I've learned some things that I hope has made me a little bit stronger of a Christian. Hopefully, maybe some of these lessons will help you. Take them with you as we go into this new week. Let's encourage others. Let's be that beacon of light that others are looking at. Let's be that living sermon. If you need to respond to the invitation, you can do so as Colin leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.